establish quorum, please.
Kathy Rogan here.
Dan Varco here.
Doc Fowler here.
Mr. Martinez here.
And Ken Lex is here. We'll have a pledge of allegiance at this time, and Lawrence, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Are there any added agenda items at this time? Hearing none, I'll proceed to item.
I'm just going to qualify that one of our items is appointment. We have, and we did not until yesterday, have a person for you to consider appointing for the Public Works Committee, and that person is James Fleming. So there's a slot to be determined that's under item 10, and I just want to point out we now know that that person that's being recommended to you is James Fleming.
Okay. And we'll take that up in item 10. And
yes.
We'll proceed to the consent agenda. Entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Mr. Mayor,
unless there are objections.
Point out a possible conflict of interest in the bill and our payables to workers.
So noted.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the consent agenda.
It's been moved.
Second.
And seconded. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let the record reflect that, is opposed. Let the record reflect that it's unanimous. We'll take public comments at this time.
Douglas Ward, 52657 Pine Drive in the city. Pertaining to number 11 on the agenda, Jenny Woodruff is not able to be here this evening. She is out of town conducting some personal business. She wishes to apologize for not being here. She's asked me to say a few words for her. On my part, as far as the Planning Commission goes, we would like to see you act on her, our recommendation to have her appointed to the Planning Commission. We are all four of us 100% in favor of it.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Are there any further public comments? Hearing none, we'll move to item number 7, which is Lapine Rodeo request for public monies in the sum of $3,000 to assist them sponsor the 2013 rodeo event.
Mr. Mayor, before we do that, I've had a request that item number 12, proclamation renaming Highway 97 to Lapine to Ashton Eden Boulevard, be placed in front of that item, and the family is here and asking for that consideration.
That's my pleasure to do that on behalf of the council. We'll move item 12 to this point in the agenda. And proclamation renaming Highway 97 through Lapine to Ashton Eden Boulevard and declaring the week commencing November the 11th in Ashton Eden's honor. City Manager?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council Members. If you recall, a couple months ago, we discussed the renaming of Highway 97 through our city, the 5 miles through our city. And there was a suggestion on the table that it be renamed Ashton Eden Boulevard in honor of all the skills and talents that that young man has, plus all the acclaim that he provides our community and inspiration that he provides here as well. And the council said, Steve, go do this, go make it happen. So since that time, I've been working with the various agencies that you had to deal with in order to be able to rename, and I want to report back that all the agencies that have an interest in the naming process, and there's many, have all lent their consent to to this request. And with that in mind, and knowing already that you directed this action if it could be happened, I want to report back that it has happened, and we have structured a proclamation for your consideration. And we also have a prototype. It's not the actual prototype, but of the name. And we've got the family members here. Mom is here, and Grandma's here, and I think I'm a little bit thrilled.
Thank you, Stephen. I think it goes without saying that we are absolutely thrilled about all of this. We're actually, you know, it is so exciting that we have a hometown boy that has grown up and has led the world in so many talented areas that we're as proud as punch. We go around every day. I know you might think that seeing him once or twice is okay, but every time I've seen him two or three times, and they've always been, and you know, I've gone out of my way to see a flash of him as he's going from point A to point B, you know, in such a hurry. But it is an honor, and I think the council will agree with me, and I'll say on their behalf that it is an honor that we are able to do this. It's a proud thing we do. And I would like to read the proclamation at this time. And after that, what we'll do is we'll take a moment, and I think we'll do a couple of pictures. And just so everybody knows, this will soon be in hard copy. So. Proclamation, City of Lapine, Oregon. Be it proclaimed, whereas Ashton Eaton spent his formative years growing up in Lapine, his family members live here, and he was taught and coached in the local schools, and whereas Ashton Eaton is a world-class athlete, world record holder, an Olympic decathlon gold medalist, and arguably the best track and field athlete in the world today, and whereas the City of Lapine leadership desires to honor his abilities and contributions by renaming Highway 97 through the community Ashton Eaton Boulevard, and whereas the road renaming is not only honoring Ashton Eaton, but also the Lapine citizenry, because it takes a community to raise a child. Thus we are honoring his family, the many coaches and teachers of our community that give him inspiration, and the community itself by this action. And now therefore be it resolved that the Lapine City Council hereby proclaims Highway 97 through the City of Lapine is renamed Ashton Eaton Boulevard with all the rights and privileges that confer with that renaming, and commencing December the 11th, 2012, it shall be known as Ashton Eaton Week in Lapine. In witness thereof, I hereto set my hand this 14th day of November in the year 2012, and I will attest to the fact that City Councilor Stu Martinez, Councilor Kathy Egan, Councilor Dan Greiner, and the City Recorder, and Councilor Dan Varco have signed this document.
Yes.
Rosalind Eaton, Ashton's mother, and Carolyn Wallace, Ashton's grandmother. And I just want to say, getting to know the family, I think this is a young man that's going to go out and inspire many, many, many of our young people, literally throughout the world.
Well, as his mom, I'd just like to say thank you so much to the City of Lapine and all of the people that made this happen. I know, having spoken with Ashton, that he's so humbled. Our family is honored, and this is just so big. But so it is true that it takes a community, and you know, often Ashton, when he does come home, he comes through Lapine to see Grandma and Grandpa, and so he is so wanting the children of Lapine to have a place where they can, you know, learn and have opportunities and grow, and that's exactly what Lapine offered him when he was younger. And that's just in his heart. And if he can inspire any child or any adult that, it doesn't matter your circumstance or the small community you come from, you can be anything that you want to be, and that dreams can come true. So thank you all for that.
What I'd like to do at this time is I'd like to recess for a few moments, and we'll take some pictures of the council and the family with our new soon-to-be posted sign. Are there any comments by the council at this time?
Yes. I'd like to say that I think we all stood in awe watching Ashton this in the past Olympics, and even though he didn't actually wear the orange and black, I think that wouldn't matter. Whether it's orange and black, the green and yellow, he's an inspiration to everyone, and he's something that I know you're proud of, that Grandma's proud of, and now the community can show their pride in it too. So I just want to thank you personally. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have...
Please.
As a mom, your tears bring tears to me. I am so proud of him. And I just want to ask you, was there ever a time in his life when he just looked at you and said, "Mom, I'm tuckered, I'm tired of running, and I'm going to sit the rest of my life"?
There was a time when he was a three-sport kid and he wanted to choose, and he said he was too tired, and I said, "Well, call the coach and tell him you're too tired." Uh-huh. And he did. Mm-hmm. And that was with baseball. So he had to choose eventually when his plate got so full, and he just couldn't do it all as well as he wanted, that he decided, and he called the coach and made the decision. And when a child can do that, at least I knew when he could do that, he really meant what he was saying.
That's right. He took ownership.
Absolutely.
We're so proud of him.
And it was, and it's funny today because Zach Logsdon, I don't know, the Logsdons, I'm sure that's a name that's familiar, was on that baseball team with them. Mm-hmm. And Bradley, what's his last name? Larson. And they said, "What is Ashton doing? He's ruining his whole career." So at any rate, you just never know what little decisions you make are going to change your path. But
that's it.
So yeah.
Thank you for supporting him, both of you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Councilor Brenner? Okay. Councilor Barco?
Well, there's a couple of things that come to my mind. I happen to be going back through some of the U.S. Constitution documents recently.
Wow.
And there was a time in the early 50s when our country made a decision to recognize that women are some of the major contributors in raising their families and setting the guidelines. And I think that was after World War II. And it was interesting to me that our country thought enough about that to say, women have a major role in forming our children's future. And I see that right here. And I appreciate that you have taken that seriously and done that, obviously. And I'm sure a lot of people in the community stepped up and had a part of Ashton's life. But we are so proud. And I want to thank both of you, Grandma and Mother, for the accessibility that we've had here in the last several months, with Linda's help too,
right.
Having that access, because I think I talked to both of you on the phone pretty easily early on, and it was really nice because I know it was a busy, busy time, and to have that access to you meant a lot to our community. So thank you,
and thank you
for being a big part of Lapine.
Well, it's going to be exciting, and to see the signs, it's going to be exciting, and I can tell you that the first time Ashton drives through here, it'll take his breath away, and he is only 24, and so this is, every new thing is a big thing, mm-hmm. And he's handling it very well, but he's so humbled and doesn't necessarily feel worthy of such an honor, so it's interesting to watch that maturity. For him, but he is, it's going to be I hope I'm in the car with him.
Yeah.
I will shoot a picture and send it. His mouth will have dropped open, I'm sure of it. So anyway, thank you all so much for your kind words. And like I said, you know, Ashton, his foundation was here, and just, you know, playing in the river and climbing the trees and running around and playing in the dirt, and literally playing in the dirt, you know. And those are some of his fondest memories, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just the simple things sometimes that are most important. And so he has a strong foundation because of this community. So thank you for this great honor, and thank you for your hard work.
He'll never get lost in this community.
I know where I am. Exactly. So once again, thank you so much.
We'll recess for a few moments here, and if we can have the counselors down front, please.
Somebody has my email address so I can get a picture of this, right?
I do.
Okay.
We can always send
glasses. Okay, perfect. Wonderful, guys. Where do I go?
Let's just do a breath of us here.
Okay.
We can just go together.
We get you.
And
come on, Grandma.
Yes. And we'll just sort of get in a semicircle here.
Would you like us to make a sit?
No, I want to be doing
that. Okay, I want you to be in the picture. You're okay, not to that. You're fine right there.
So we have one of the three screens.
You can scooch over.
Yeah, you're taller.
No, if you turn sideways, you're going to be really
Dan, come on over here.
No, I can't get in front. I got it. You want me to go around back? Would that be better?
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
No, you're fine.
Okay, everybody say Ashton Eaton Boulevard.
Ashton Eaton Boulevard.
Yes. Okay, one more time. And Honeysuckle Rose.
Honeysuckle Rose.
Okay.
That's right, the instigator.
No.
Yes. Linda knows she needs to get in front.
I do, because everyone's taller than me.
Yeah.
Here, you guys.
Hold it down to your face.
Okay, everybody look this way and think about summer again. Yeah.
Everybody's smiling. Look at her.
Okay, there you go.
So we're gonna let you keep the sign.
Oh,
and here's one for her.
Careful there.
I know. I guess.
Thank you. Once again.
Thank you.
Oh, you are Jenny. That's fine. We do.
Yes, you did.
She doesn't like to drive in the dark, so she's going to head back to Ben.
We'll be in session now. Now we'll move to item number 7. Lapine Rodeo request for monies in the sum of $3,000 to assist in sponsoring the 2013 rodeo event. Would you like to come up, please?
Hey, how you doing, cohort member?
Do you all have your packet?
Yes.
Okay. So just real quick, if you'll indulge me, I just wanted to read a few things if I could. The Lapine Rodeo Association relies on annual sponsorships for the operational costs of running the annual 4th of July rodeo. 2013 will be our 11th annual rodeo sanctioned by NPRA, which is Northwest Professional Rodeo Association. And if you want to follow along, this sponsorship guide packet, page 2, I wanted to highlight a few things. The exciting news in 2012 was the passing of the Lapine Land Conveyance Act for permanent rodeo grounds on 150 acres. This will boost tourism by developing permanent rodeo grounds along with future development of parks and recreational facilities. It has taken many years to achieve this with the leadership of former rodeo board member and now Deschutes County Commissioner Tony DeBone. The dream is now a reality. His untiring efforts are greatly appreciated, along with bringing into the fold U.S. Senator Ron Wyden and U.S. Representative Greg Walden. They felt our passion, and it became their passion to make this a reality to boost the economy of the community of Lapine and South Deschutes County. We will not be on the new grounds for a few years, but we've got it in our hands now, and the future is very bright. So what do we have on slate for 2013? The exciting news is that we have added an event, and we will have a 3-day Lapine Rodeo 4th of July event from Thursday, July 4th through Saturday, July 6th. Thursday night, we will have a bull riding event, Buck and Boom. We will then have a Western Family Rodeo dance after the bull riding event in the arena, and then cap that off with people being able to watch the fireworks on 6th Street from the grandstand since we're on 3rd Street. The improvements we made this last year were the new VIP grandstand and the new announcer stand that were built by our Annie Blumenstetter secretary back here, extraordinaire. So if you'll turn the page, I've outlined what our proposal and request is to the city of the Lapine. You would be our 11th anniversary sponsor in the amount of $3,000. And I've outlined there, and once again, you know, I've got down here 10 rodeo tickets and 6 VIP rodeo tickets, which I realize you're unable to accept. And like last year, we donated them to Can Cancer for them to distribute to people. There would be a banner, a 4x5 banner, a banner on the back of the grandstands, which is down our vendor alley merchandise row. Listing on the rodeo website, recognition at all performances by Q Olson, our Hall of Fame rodeo announcer. Listing on the day sheets, and I think you have a sample in there. It says sample day sheet, and then logo on the poster. I believe I provided you also with a poster, so you'll be listed on there. The City of Lapine sponsorship will support the operational expenses to host the rodeo and provide family-friendly entertainment and economic development to South Deschutes County on 4th of July weekend. And as you can see below, I've just listed a sample. It's not all of our operational costs, but it's just a portion. You can see that NPRA requires that we have judges, that's $600 for two judges, a secretary, that's $450, and an NPRA timers for $400. And then you can see one of our big expenses is the stock contractor for $9,800. The other couple things I just wanted to point out, because I'm not sure if you're familiar with them or not, and if you are, please feel free to interrupt me and let me know to stop. Lapine Rodeo is the only 4th of July rodeo in Central Oregon. So that would be Gilcrest, Crescent, all the way up to Madras, Jefferson County. If you wanted to go to a PRCA rodeo, you'd have to go all the way over to the valley to the St. Paul Rodeo. So that's 184 miles away. What we bring contestant-wise into the Lapine area, last year we had 199 contestants. Now that does not include or count all of the support team that comes with them, whether it be family, friends, or just buddies that come along. You can usually double that number of people that are coming with them. And they like to come to our rodeo because we have larger payouts than any of the other rodeos. And usually what happens is the rodeo that's up in Silverdale, Washington, we trade back and forth. We'll have contestants on Saturday, and then they'll head up to Silverdale, and the contestants that are up in Silverdale will then head back down here on Sunday. So it's kind of a nice tag team event that they can do both of them. And that's the closest rodeo for them, between them, Silverdale, and us to do that. The other thing about spreading the word, just not for the Lapine Rodeo, but the community of Lapine, I'm sure you all saw our Queen Michaela this year. She is a senior at Bend Heights Mountain View High School, but that girl was up and down and all over the state of Oregon representing not just the rodeo, but the community of Lapine. She was in Vernonia welcoming Miss Rodeo America Mackenzie Carr home. She was over at Canby at the Clackamas County Fair for the Miss Rodeo Oregon pageant. She's been out to Spray. She's been all over. So that, it's got Lapine right across it, Lapine Queen. So she's out there marketing for us, which is nice. The other nice thing that we've gone forward to get the community of Lapine out this year is partnerships with KSJJ Radio. I get it turned around. It's the Rodeo Road Tour, but it's the radio business. So they've been out, and I don't know if you heard the commercials this year. They were broadcasting for our play days, for the rodeos, all over the place. And now we're working with the Mountain Country Radio Station as well, so we're on both of them. The last thing is, I talked about the numbers that we bring in for, you know, cowboys and cowgirls. Last year, or 2011, our attendance was 2,154 people. Now, you know, that's, I don't know what the percentage is, give or take, but that's a lot of people. This year, you know, with the rain and the holiday on a Wednesday kind of threw us off a bit, but I don't, with Thursday being 4th of July, people are going to have Friday off, and we're going to be able to keep people in town. So I'm hoping that you will be able to commit to the $3,000 so that we can put on a big event. We've had requests for a family-friendly Western dances, so we've listened, and we're going to do that. And I think the Buck and Boom bull riding event on Thursday night will be a big hit. And we'll be doing the same thing, getting all the marketing out and everywhere, just to see there. So, are there any questions?
any questions, Council?
That's not a question.
Okay. City Manager?
Yes. As you know, anymore, when someone comes in and asks for money, what we do is we have them fill out a form, and then we review the funding request, and we do that to make sure that we have monies in the piggy bank, and how much monies we have in the piggy bank, and that's important because we have any more, we have a request probably 2 or 3 days for money. So as I looked at this request on behalf of the agency, I know that we put in our budget this year, and this was directed by the budget committee, which is comprised of our council and another 5 or 6 individuals who had to wrestle with how much money was available and how were we going to apportion who was going to get what share. We put $600 in the budget. But then we also recognize that the Lapine Rodeo was very important to this community. And as we crafted a contract with the chamber this year, we directed, and they agreed, that the chamber would provide revenues for the Lapine Rodeo. And I've noted that there is a description of services, and it says at a minimum, and there's just two items that the city requested that the chamber provide sustenance for, and one was the Lapine Rodeo, the other is Frontier Days. So it's staff's recommendation that we provide $600 to you. We do have some other discretionary monies that when we started the year, those are fairly well exhausted. I thought if there were some other monies available in our discretionary fund, we could supplant the $600, but we just really don't have the monies. So that's staff's recommendation that we offer up $600 instead of $3,000. It's your call.
Council?
On the TRT funds, it was my understanding that when we did this, that that was part of making rodeo and frontier days whole. And if I look at it correctly, then I would believe that you should be able to approach the chamber for $2,400.
And I don't know if you have a copy of the contract. But here's the schedule that went with it. So if there's any doubt or uncertainty.
Dan?
Well, right off, I need to disclose that the land the rodeo sits on is owned by me, and I receive income, a lease amount on that as well, so possible, I guess, conflict of interest, although I think that no matter what we do here, the rodeo is going to go on, but I just wanted to disclose that.
Okay.
I'm not clear, we do have some way of funds right here in front of us. I know in the past, we have had some discretion on moving funds around a little bit, and maybe that's why we're kind of short in this fund. Steve, could you remind me, did we allocate the $600 specifically for rodeo?
We did.
Okay.
And again, there was, because it was, we were a new city, and a caution that we make sure that we share the wealth around, and everybody gets a little sliver of it, and recognizing how important the rodeo was, we broke it out as a very specific allocation to ensure that there was money in the piggy bank for them, that nobody else came along and was able to weasel that money away. Okay, unless it was the end of the year and they did come and knock on the door. But so that's why there's some certainty as to the amount, is because the budget committee very specifically said, all things considered, we'll afford them $600.
Okay. I don't have anything else right now.
Don?
I guess my opinion is we're going to have to go with our budget back to $600 mark.
Stu?
May I ask a couple questions? When did the budget committee meet and make that these decisions?
The budget committee met over several months. Well, actually, they met twice, but we had conversations with them over about a 2 or 3 month period, starting, I want to say, in April. And the budget committee finally decided, I want to say, around the 1st of July. Okay. Is that about right, Lori? So during that 2 or 3 month time period, and we had public hearings and input from the citizenry, and we're just getting ready to start that process again this year.
Okay.
New budget, new budget committee, new budget deliberations.
And is this budget that was finalized effective until December 31st, 2012, or is it a fiscal where it goes June 30th to July 1st, 2013?
It is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's September 30th to October 1st, or?
July 1st through June 30th.
Okay, excuse me, July 1st through June 30th, that's correct.
Okay. I'd like to also, you know, I'd like to point out, because, you know, I'm not going to turn away the $600. That's nice. It's better than nothing. But I would like to point out that back in February 2012, when I came to the board, to the city council, and requested a sponsorship, and I didn't ask for a specific dollar amount. I gave you the whole packet and let the city council select which one they wanted, and it was the $600 shoe sponsorship, which I love it and I appreciate it. But I find it a bit frustrating on the city council meeting on May 9th that Frontier Days comes and requests $2,500 and it was granted to them. Now, granted, that could be my fault because I didn't ask for $2,500 when I came in February. But I feel that the Frontier Days and the rodeo are both viable, very, very important aspects for this community, and that we should be treated equally. Now, this, maybe this May 9th was on the budget before this one was ratified, but still, I find that there's a bit of an imbalance right there.
And not to belabor the point, but that was last year's budget. We didn't have all the pressing concerns last year that we have this year. We now have sewer, water, land use, cemetery, industrial park. And so with just a little more caution, I'd like to think that what we do for you, we will do for Frontier Days, and we don't want to treat you different. That's why we recognize that the two of the many different events and circumstances that this community offers, those were two that we very explicitly put into the agreement with the chamber that says these are our children and we want to give them extraordinary care and attention so they're successful. But it's these folks here that finally decided that.
Let me just make a comment there too. You're right on target with the idea that last year there was a request for $600,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a request for $2,500.
Which, yes.
And the council acted on those two.
Right.
Okay. And I can only believe that if you come and ask for $2,500, you'd have got $2,500 because there's not one of us sitting here that doesn't recognize the equality here needs to be. But we acted on what we had at that point in time.
And I realized that was, you know, my I should have asked for more. I didn't. Now I know, you know.
So I'd like to see us move on and just recognize the fact that we are based on two reasons. One, very primary, is the fact that we've got $600 in there earmarked and we don't have any more, basically. But you now understand the system of the budget committee, and you'll get, these are public hearings that you'll get to approach the budget committee and make that same pitch. Stu? I didn't get to you with comments.
Kathy had her hand up before I did.
I was just wondering if there are some items in the budget that we could move around and look at this, or if that's how we do that.
Can I make a comment on that? Okay. What I think we need to do is we need to understand that we have our professional sitting here who is belabored the budget already, and we have a staff recommendation to do the 600 based upon several comments, and I just want to point that out to everybody. Stu?
Okay. I hate these buttons.
Red.
Blue.
Huh?
I realize we have 600 earmarked there, and forgive me, I didn't look at, oh, here we go. And I realize that, you know, both events are a major contribution to the city of Lapine. It brings, like you mentioned, a lot of people in here. And first of all, I want to compliment
Gina.
The other one. Whoever put that together.
The packet?
Yes.
That was me.
Gina.
Yes, that one. You know, as a sponsor on the private side, this is the first really professional job that I have seen come out of the Rodeo Association. And I have to commend you folks for that. Having been a sponsor for 20 years, I believe, or actually since you've been involved, because it was a rodeo association long before that. This is a very professional job.
Thank you.
And now that that's the kudos are done with, I think that, yes, we do have $600 earmark. Is that including what the chamber is allowed to kick in with the TRT funds?
No, that's, they're separate. We looked at accommodating them twofold. One was outright $600. And two, recognizing there's $50,000 or $60,000 available each year that we give the TRT, and wanting to make sure that some of those monies were earmarked special. Just saying.
Well, what I'm getting to is, are you going to be asking the chamber for funds also?
Well, yes, now that I see that.
No, if the city can come up with all of it, would you be going to the chambers?
No.
Okay. So if there's TRT funds available.
There are TRT funds available, and as I understood it, because I was involved in the negotiation process, that some of those monies were going to be explicitly earmarked for the rodeo event. Okay, and that's why it was very much broken out in the schedule, and that schedule has the chamber president's acknowledgement that that was the intent. So I'm saying the city tried to afford compensations twofold, one outright and one through an agreement for use of those monies, all right?
And that's going to the chamber and completing a request for the
yes,
money in the
so
TRT
in
funds.
You need to go over and knock on the chamber's door and say, look, there's a contract between you and the city, contract earmarks monies for us and other services, whatever, however it says it.
So,
and, you know, and make that same pitch over there because you have the basis in fact for doing that.
So that would, you would wind up with that amount, with what the city can get you and the chamber.
That's as long as the chamber gives it to us.
Well, I would certainly hope the chamber would accommodate that, because the city is basically funneling the money through the TRT funds to the chamber.
Is that
a contract that exists for that money to go to the rodeo?
At the chamber, is the decision-making process with the executive director, or is it with the board of the chamber?
You know, can I interrupt just for a minute? I don't think we have the capacity to answer that question. I think we could speculate about a number of things, but we do have the capacity to answer the fact that we have a schedule here that is agreed to by the chamber that identifies Frontier Days and Rodeo as recipients of TRT funds.
Okay.
And my recommendation would be to approach the chamber.
And if you don't, how do I want to put it? If you have some problems, come back to the city.
Okay.
Because we need to work all together
yes.
to make this work.
Okay.
The city, the chamber, you know, we all need to make it work to get them to their, amount that they're requesting. And if that doesn't work, come back to the city and we'll take some money from somewhere.
Be careful.
And you know where I'm going with that. But I'm sure the city would, but go, if you could, go to the chamber, please.
Yes, I will.
That's my comment.
Dan?
Well, my little bit of a concern with what I've heard here is that there's some expectation that there was a $3,000 number total between the chamber and the city that was agreed to, and I don't think that's accurate.
No, that is not accurate. What is accurate is that we anticipated that outright we would compensate from our budget and that some of the compensation would come from the rodeo.
Right, we didn't have to lead them to believe that there's a $3,000 total somewhere.
And that's, we had no forewarning that $3,000 was even going to be requested. So you're right, there's no correlation between the request and the amount of money that might be offered up. It's just simply that there were two funding sources contemplated to compensate them.
Okay, but so I think it's unfair to say, oh, well, you know, whatever we don't do, the chamber's going to do. You know, we can't do that. That's not, we're not in any position to do that.
And we're not. Okay. Just in a general acknowledgement that some compensation was going to come from that.
My last comment on that was that it was our expectations that by stipulating in the schedule that both Rodeo and Frontier Days would have another avenue to look for funds.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a better way to put it.
Yeah, and so there we are.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
I'd like to ask a question. What was the basis that you came up with $3,000 when last year it was 600 and you seemed to be happy with that 600 because I was sitting here when
right.
It was passed, and I'm wondering how all of a sudden it's five times as much as last year.
As Ken said, it was a learning experience. When I came to you last year, that was the first time I'd come to the city requesting funds. So I didn't ask for anything specifically. I just provided the sponsorship packet, and the city council agreed on the $600 sponsorship. If I would have thought, well, let's ask for $3,000, I would have done that. But it didn't dawn on me until somebody brought it to my attention and showed me the minutes from the May city council meeting where $2,500 was requested from Frontier Days, and it was like, oh, a light bulb went off. I should have asked. And it's just a learning experience for me, unfortunately. So that's the reason why I jumped it up. I thought, well, if I ask for $3,000, maybe they'll give me $2,500. You know? So that's how I came up with that reasoning.
What I'm trying to get across is the difference between $600 and $3,000 going to make a difference as to whether the rodeo is going to go on this year? Or the quality of the rodeo?
No, no. All it will do is make my job a little bit easier, and I won't, you know, have to maybe ask for five more sponsorships at $1,000 each or whatever. That's all it was trying to get, I guess, a bigger bang for the boom or however that goes.
And that'll just put a bigger burden on the businesses and the community.
That's true, yeah.
It takes about $26,000 to put this rodeo on for a two-day event by the time we pay all the bills. To answer your question, Councilor Grenier, yes, I'd like to contradict Gina just a little bit. It does. The difference between $600 and $3,000 is very important in so far as the success of this rodeo goes. Because of the economy, because of the added pressure that rodeo puts on local businesses at the same time that Frontier Days does too, because we get our sponsorship money from the same pool of of donors every year. It's a competition, frankly, between the two entities for their sponsorship dollars. For a number of years, well, actually, since I've been involved as president of this rodeo, there's a portion of this rodeo that we end up paying for with our gate receipts. In other words, we've never fully funded this rodeo before rodeo. It's never been paid for before the event. We've always had to rely on gate receipts to finish paying the bills on the rodeo. And then if we have money left, then we make our capital improvements to the rodeo grounds. Our goal this year is to fully fund this rodeo before the event. And that, sir, is why we're asking for $3,000.
I think, in other words, what you're telling me is that if you can fund the entire rodeo prior to the event, that all of your gate receipts will go for possibly the improvement of the new rodeo ground.
Absolutely.
That you might have.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
A comment just to clarify. The council got a package from rodeo last year, and it had several options.
Mm-hmm.
We chose the $600 chute option. We had a big banner up on the chute. Okay, we could have chose one of the other mm-hmm. packages. And the package that they're presenting under this $3,000 is actually a rodeo sponsorship. You know, it's more than just a chute sponsor, and we're getting more benefits.
You would actually be a presenting sponsor right. at that level.
And I just want everybody to understand that it's more than what we really did last year, which we chose. So, okay, thank you very much. And unless there's further comment, I would ask the council to I'd entertain a motion to approve the staff's report to provide $600 to the rodeo this year.
I make a motion.
Is there a motion?
I make that motion. I support the rodeo fully and wholeheartedly, so I'm hoping this will all work out. And yes, whatever you said, I do.
Okay. Motion and a second. Is there a second? Hearing no second, the motion is not carried.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask the city manager if there's some other source of funding where we might increase it, maybe not quite to the $3,000 mark. We don't have that money, but at least add some to the amount that we have budgeted.
Before I ask the city manager to go to that, I think it's a responsible comment to make that, you know, we have a budget. We have a long way to go before we get through this year, and I think that we ought to pay attention to the budget. And that's not any way of saying anything about the deservingness of the rodeo. We all own a piece of the rodeo. It is what Lapine is all about, just like Frontier Days. But, you know, the city only has so much money. And having said that, I will defer to Councilor Griner's comments to have the city manager speak to that.
Well, let me ask a question in return, and that is, what were you thinking in the way of money so that I can tell you we have that kind of money or we don't? If you would be so, give me a ballpark here.
I had no ballpark in mind, but what if we doubled that amount and went to $1,200 instead? Would that
we could do
that would at least help the Is that correct?
Yes, it
would. We could do that. So somebody hurriedly seconded the motion for 1,200.
Do I hear 13?
This reminds me of Pickers, you know. Pickers are out there and they're bidding on stuff.
Could I ask for 1,500?
Can I go to this or go ahead, Steve?
No, I didn't mean, it's trying to keep a sense of humor in something that's very serious, you know, is kind of a stress relief. I understand what the mayor's saying as far as a budget and sticking to the budget, but in budgets, there's also room for adjustment. And I think in this case, this extraordinary case of the two main events held in Lapine, we need to look at that. And so I'm in agreement with up to 1,500. If we can come up with that, we can buy a few less hot dogs, rent one less toilet during our cleanup or some other event, something else to come up to help, you know, one of the major events in this community that draws thousands of people. So I would like to, if Councilor Greiner would permit an amendment to, you have to make the amendment to your...
He didn't make a motion yet?
Okay.
I was trying to make a motion to 1,500.
I'll second that motion, and I might make the comment too that if we can spend $70,000 to 450 feet of beautification in front of the City Hall, this isn't very much to spend.
Let me come back. I can let that stay. Wait, that is not correct. We allocate $20,000 for that improvement, and because of the generosity of ODOT, they're kicking in $70,000. That's not coming from the public purse. Our community is coming from the statewide.
It's still tax money.
I understand. But it's not coming out of our budget.
There is a motion to increase the, or to allocate $1,500 to the rodeo. Did I hear a second?
I second.
Was it 15 or 16?
15.
$1,500 has been motioned and seconded. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I feel like I have to abstain.
Okay. Opposed? That the record reflect that it's passed with one abstention.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This does not preclude us from going to the chamber now for the
nope.
The bell.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We are now at item 8, which is the current budget, new format.
Mr.
Steve?
Mayor and councilors, as you know, we've been providing you any number of numbers every month on the budget. And of course, they can be real mind-boggling. And again, Lori's tried to follow your accounting principles and practices, but you know, if you're trying to read the budget and you're trying to grasp something in a hurry of what it's really trying to say, that becomes real difficult. So we've tried to put together a new format, we will keep tweaking this format until it's really comfortable and easy for you to read. But it does four. There are four columns in this new format that try and reflect the revenues and expenditures and where we are in the year. And so that's what we have here. We have the four columns. I'm just going to point them out. You have the monthly total is the first column. It says monthly total, and it just simply says for each one of these particular line items or budget areas, how much money has been expended this month in the last 3 days. And then the column B, we're going to keep a running tally of where we are, what percentage of the year has come and gone. And right now we're in 34% of the year. And then the third column is the annual budget. That's the total amount of monies that we allocated in that particular line item. And then D is the budget percentage to date. And how that number is arrived is you take column B and you divide it by column C and you get column D, budget percentage to date. So you can rapidly look down here at any item and say, okay, how much did we allocate? I guess C is the first place you'll look. And that is, how much money did we set aside for that particular item? And then you look to B, well, how much of the year has come and gone? All right? And then D, well, then what's the relationship? You know, if we had $100,000 and we're 34% of the way through the year, what percentage correspondence is there between percentage of the year and expenditure to date or percentage to date, okay? And then a monthly tally up to May. And we can adjust these around, but this is a pretty quick way for you to look and see in a given line item if you think it's out of skew. And if you think it's out of skew, then we're here with budget information to explain why that number is so far out of skew, if in fact you think it's out of skew. And if you like this format, then we will provide this format. If you want us to tweak it further, we'll do that as well. All right.
Comments, Council?
Real quick question. Uh-huh. The total, and you have 34% of the year?
Yes, that's column B.
How do you come up with 34%?
Well, you take the year as 100%, and each month represents a certain percentage of the year. So 4 months equals 34%.
Okay. And then annual budget, is that the, are you saying that's the total budget?
That's yes, the total budget.
That is.
But we don't have it'd be nice to have maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but it'd be nice to have a relative figure there that shows, you know, how much budget is 34%, so we can kind of compare what we're supposed to spend versus what we spent. No?
Well, you do, and column D is supposed to be the relationship. Let's just take the first, let's find a line item that's actually something that we've expended money for. Lori, can you pick out a good example here?
Personnel. Services.
Personnel, there's a go. Let's find it. There's personnel. Okay, personnel services. The annual budget was $166,250. All right. And so far this year to date, we have spent $75,000 for personnel services. And that's 45% of the budget, and yet we're 34% of the way through the year. So we've expended more money to date than we have year to date.
Okay. See how that works? Yeah, I see how it works. I think it would be helpful to have the number actually in there.
Yes.
Just because it would give us the ability to say, well, you know, there's a $10,000 differential. Where can we adjust that, you know?
Oh, okay, so what you're saying is let's just keep on personnel for a minute. We're saying that the one number is 34 and the other number is 45, and the difference between those two numbers is a number.
Plus or minus.
Plus right. or minus, and you'd right. like to see that plus or minus number.
I think yeah. it'd be helpful. Okay. I mean, the percentage is nice, but when you're actually looking at the dollar difference, okay. just like tonight with the rodeo, if we were under in a lot of categories, we'd feel a lot more comfortable coming to a quick decision.
Well, yes.
It would also support the fact that you know, right now, and we'll use personnel services, it appears that we are overspending what's budgeted.
That's correct.
The current concern I have at times is that we say, okay, we can find this in the budget somewhere. But when you really start looking at the numbers, and you've got a bunch of them that are already over, and we're doing arbitrary giving money, what do we do when we get to the ninth month, and we've got all of these areas that are over, and we've got to go somewhere and find that money? Well, all of that arbitrary money that we could roll into what our expenses have forced us to overspend is not there.
And that's why you see me pushing back. I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to this group, but I'm just saying, just as Scott said when he was up here, you know, we're driven by the economy. So is this organization. And right now the economy is down. We don't have a lot of revenues coming in. And I'm just trying to be as conservative as I can be. And so don't ever take any disrespect that I'm somehow second-guessing you folks. I'm just saying I'm already seeing little indications that we're going to have a tight year. And so help me out by being fiscally prudent. Okay? And then we'll get there.
So I have a quick question.
Sir.
It looks like the bottom line is that I see a 20.9, but there's a minus in front of that under budget percent to date, the very last bottom line on the second page.
Total net.
Total net all revenue over expenditures. Now, is that minus?
Lori,
20.9.
What number are you looking at?
The very bottom last right-hand number on the whole.
27,780.
No, the percentage of a minus 20.9%.
That's a minus 20.9%.
Where?
Of what? What's
of the total?
Well, that means we're over budgeted.
By 20.9%.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Okay, so year to date, right now, we have more money than what we budgeted for. Because we're budgeted for a loss in this particular scenario, okay? And we're actually positive. So it's
that's the way it reverses.
Yeah, it reverses when you have a negative budget and you have a positive income. Then it goes to a negative percentage. Because if you still take 57,941 and divide it by a negative 277,880, you're going to come up with a negative number, just because that's the way math works.
So the just at a glance, it looks like the water fund might have a lot to do with that.
Water and sewer, and mind you, that this does not show the transfers in and out or the capital reserves that we have in our budget.
Right.
If you would like that to be more toward this, where you can look at like the LB 2030 and have that format, we can do that. I can give you several different formats and you all can choose something that is more understandable. This was our first attempt to come up with something simple.
Overall, I mean, I think this is kind of a nice bird's eye view. It kind of shows you some quick tweaking, but we have to get accustomed to understanding
right. What
it means.
And this is the same as what I had the same problem of getting used to it at our office, but the number is just reversed. That's the way the program is.
Okay.
That's actually considered a plus instead of a minus.
I think, am I off mark here on the fact that I think that we ought to be looking at our revenues outside of sewer and water?
Well, we do.
I mean, today on this page, and we're trying to make some kind of decision by looking at a sheet of paper, and we go down to the bottom line down here, and that's actually taking in all of sewer and water. Is that not right?
Well,
that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. So we can't touch sewer and water money as we go to make some kind of decision about giving some extra money to...
And that's correct, because that's a restricted fund there.
Right. So okay. So we should actually be looking at two different sheets here. One that represents the city's money, and then one that represents the sewer and water's money.
And that's what she was alluding to when she pointed out that other... They're two separate...
Jump in there. Jump in, Lori.
Oh, so then would it be easier to total the first page?
Yes.
Have a total down there, and then total the second page, and then have them be...
Yeah.
You can see water and sewer, but we don't make decisions on water and sewer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we just have the first page be the city with its total separately. Okay.
Yeah. Question, please.
Sure.
If the water and sewer bring in more money than the expenditures, what happens to the surplus money in water and sewer that's not covered by expenditures?
Steve?
I would think at the end of the year, it's just surplus money that goes back into the account, and then we redistribute where we need it. And you know, probably end up in a fund reserve or some kind of a capital improvement. That's where we'd normally put it, one of those two places. And I do want to say this while we're on the subject. It looks like, you know, we are awash in money in the sewer account, but I've been advised by Scott that we have a lift station that is on its last legs. It's on its last lifts, and that is going to need to be replaced. And I'm going to guess out loud that we're talking $250,000 to $300,000.
Real close, yeah.
Okay. And so that is going to be one of the items that we wrestle with when we wrestle with next year's budget, because that's a must-do. Okay?
Yeah.
And again, that's the caution. I mean, I sit here every day, and we have all kinds of good people for all kinds of good reasons stroll in the door. That's one of the reasons that we started going with this. You need to fill out a form and tell us what you want and how much you need. And if you're, it's a one-time request or it's a multi-year request, and then staff gets at least to get a crack at it before you get a crack at it, to say, you know, we need money, or we have little money, or be careful. You know, and then you can do what you need to do.
Well, I think that, you know, I think there's a lot more to this and keeping track of this budget and what we spend and everything. But I think by having a decent sheet that we can quickly look at and we're slowly working toward that will help us tremendously. But it again comes down to the idea that we've got people coming in this door every meeting almost asking for money, and we want to give them some money, and then we want to give them more. You know, hard decisions are that, you know, the city's no better off in this economy than any other organization or family, and we just need to be careful. I think prudent on our part would have been to say go to the chamber.
We've already covered that.
Yes, we have, but let me finish, please. It would have been prudent to go to the, have them go to the chamber and let the chamber make some decision about what they could provide to them, and then have them come back here and we could address it again.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question on the mayor and councilor's funds. I see that the monthly total was $3,375, and the percentage for the year is $6,214. There's no percentage over there. Is there a reason for that?
Where are we?
It's on the first page, the top section, the next to the last expenditure.
Steve?
Where?
Lori?
It's right before the...
It's in general fund, almost at the bottom.
Right.
Because it's zero.
I mean, it'll do divide by something because there's no, it's a zero. And so it won't give you any percentage. Because any number divided by zero is going to give you some zero.
So you're telling me that there's been no expenditure there?
No, I think what she's telling
you. There's no budget.
There's no.
Is we did not, very explicitly say as part of our last year's budgeting process that the mayor and the council will be a line item that has this amount of money in it. We left it open to your discretion, and so it shows that you've spent to date in the last 4 months roughly $6,200. And I think what staff is going to do next year, recommend, is that we have a breakout with a funding ceiling that says, you know, the mayor and the council can spend this amount of money. Okay.
The reason I ask, I think in the budget process last year, we set aside amount to do training for counselors for and conventions and so forth, didn't we?
We could reassign that to show on that line item how much has been allocated, and the budget is just kind of bunched up in there on that line. If you look at the budget number, and we can pull that out and we can tweak this.
It's no big deal, it's just that I thought it would be.
Sure, we can do that.
It's just one thing.
I guess I'm trying to figure out here. I mean, we have some items on the right, left-hand side of the page. So, what do those represent? I mean, are we talking about counselors and you know, mayors and counselors? What was that really designed for?
Well, it's going to be designed for what Steve just addressed, that in the future, within the new Cassell program, what we have done is squeezed it all together. I have a 14-page report here that reflects the numbers that are included in the one that you have rolled up, basically. And so in that description, we have office supplies, contract services, meetings, community sponsorship, IT and software support, and community distributions, legal expenses. Those are some of the accounts that are going to be included in there. And it can be reassigned, but let me just give you a show of what's in there. And if you want detail, I can do a journal so you can see what's in these amounts. So these two relate to these two here. So these are the things that I have used to identify specifically anything that has to do with counselors or mayor expenditures.
So what she's saying is she's broken out items that are mayor council related, but in the same breath we haven't put a cap on your spending. Okay. So next year I'm going to recommend that we put a cap on your spending, and then within that, you know, here's all the different items that will be attended to, and you know, we'll see if you can manage that with the $100 we put in there.
I guess in the past we have always had. I mean, this is just a sort of a summary, and. And looking at this really doesn't tell us anything, like we're sitting here tonight trying to make a decision about giving some extra money, and it's not going to tell us anything about, whether we've got extra monies or not. I know in the past we've always had a full line item representation of the budget, and we've gone down that and been able to see each line item, what the percentage was of what we'd, you know, Stu?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with it's a new program, correct?
yes, we can do the line item, which is, I have here. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
I'm still working with Cassell. What has happened is they set it up and they basically put it in motion without really checking anything. And I've been working with them diligently day after day after day for the last 2 or 3 weeks to get the bugs worked out of this program and to get everything right.
Sure.
And the last piece is the budget. And that budget that's in Cassell is incorrect. So I have to go in and manually fix it because the setup wasn't really all that spectacular.
Okay, so it's still, it's a work in progress.
Right.
This is one snapshot of a jigsaw puzzle, correct?
But this is what we concocted today.
Right.
To simplify the process based on just a staff desire. And so we can do whatever you care to do. I've got the capacity to run all kinds of reports now. As soon as I get the budget put in the way that it should be, we'll be good to go.
And let me say this. For instance, you've got 3 inches here that says general fund. And what we've done is we've put you the major categories of general fund. But the reality is general fund is made up of an awful lot of line items. So if you want to see all the line items within the general fund, we can present it that way. We just didn't want to overwhelm you. We thought, you know, having 2 or 3 pages each month might do it. But then again, if it won't do it, you want to have the more specificity. Like for instance, let's say that within mayor and counselors, well, one item is travel. Okay. So how much of whatever we have for travel have we expended? So we see where the travel is. We can do that.
I think we should do that on some kind of some kind of schedule, not, you know, like every other month or every third month or something. I think we ought to plan in our, and I have a note written here under counselor's comments that, you know, we need to set a time and one of these sessions that we go down through this one. This is, I have the total breakout here. You know, and it looks good, and but it tells me what mayors and counselors represents, and I think we need that.
Okay. Well, what I'm hearing you say is a two-step, and that is that monthly you'd like to see this, but maybe quarterly we delve into the details.
There we are.
I'll give you all one.
Yeah, and because it's in my mind when I think about budget. I have one of these at home, and I think of it in this, you know, I can look in this and see what we budgeted. But then when I come over and I look at something like this, and even something like this, it's different enough, but all of the pieces are here, right in here. And I think quarterly would be a perfect time to do that.
Well, and again, it's a relief for me to have you delve into numbers. Because when you delve into numbers, what you're going to invariably happen is you're going to be that much more cautious. You're going to go, oh gee, we're this much into the year and it looks like we're spending this kind of money and maybe we need to slow it down a little bit. Okay? And I need to have you think in that framework because one of the things I've noticed since I've been here, and you're just kind of seeing this, and that is about every 2 or 3 days now, I've got somebody knocking on our door and asking for something. Not a huge thing that they're asking for, maybe $250, $300, $50, but cumulatively and aggressively more frequently, we're being asked for to sponsor just virtually everything, and we have to live within our means. Okay.
Council, are we satisfied that we beat this to death? Dan has one more.
Just one quick, you know, thing I think we all know, but you know, the income tax monies, I'm sure, aren't arriving yet, and so that's kind of skewing what we're looking at here as far as percentages of budget and all that. I mean, that there is that
there
inconsistency
is
too. It's not like we get a monthly or weekly check coming in, you know.
No, and again, so learning budget and understanding its nuances is important too, and that is just because you say way down in something doesn't mean necessarily it's going to be way down when that big check comes in. And that big check comes in a couple times a year. But in the interim, it goes down and it draws down to nothing. You know, you go, holy cow. But then it gets replenished. But you're right. Yes, ma'am.
Just on the tax thing, I think we're slated to get like $235,000 for the month, or for the year, for income, or for property taxes. So, you know, I could show
that. So that percentage of budget is going to shift radically when that happens.
Yes, so that could be shown.
Yeah, and we could just say that's a projection. You know, we can say, here's actual money in the piggy bank, and here's projected money in the piggy bank.
So I think this is where we've come to. We've come to the idea that we need this quarterly, and we need to schedule time in our session to walk down through that item by item. And we've known in the past that it's gone very quickly. It doesn't take a lot of time. The other one is that we're going to take this document and we're going to put that same item down there, total net all revenue over expenditures for city money. Or non, let me say it, non
sewer and water.
Sewer and water.
Non utility.
Okay. Okay. Having got to that.
I think we beat that to death.
Well, I think we've got to.
No,
we covered some good ground.
All right.
We are at. Let's go to number 9, reappointment of Lapine Public Works Advisory Committee members for specific terms, office been identified in the City Hall resolution. So, the item time frames I do want to read this. The initial time frames established were not followed, so the committee has taken action to correct this oversight. Steve?
Mayor, Councilman, that's correct. When the Public Works Committee was formed sometime in late 2011, it was understood that some members would serve for a few months until the end of the year, and that some would be for an additional year. Okay, but the year ended 2011, going into 2012, and there was no one did anything at that time to adjust the terms, you know, to continue the terms. So sometime in summer, it was called to my attention, folks were on the Public Works Committee, and they had been reappointed, and that we needed to cure that. And so then I asked the members to, amongst themselves, determine whether they wanted to serve through the end of 2012 or into 2013. And so you have before you a recommendation from the Public Works Committee to appoint their membership for the time that's stated here on this sheet number 9. Okay. And then in addition, and we may want to take care of item number 10 as well, there was an empty seat on the Public Works Advisory Committee because of the vacation or the resignation of Roy Hester. And so the Public Works Committee has not only recommended the terms, lengths, that they're willing to serve, if you agree, but they're also asking you in the same breath to appoint James Fleming to the Public Works Committee and appoint him through, he'd be one of these ones that would end 2012, at the end of 2012. Okay, and you go, okay, well, 2012 is almost up, so what do we do then? Well, at the next meeting, we're going to have reappointments and then bring you back new recommendations, and hopefully then that cures and catches us all up for the next couple of years, who serves and for how long a period of time. Okay?
Are there any questions, Council?
No.
Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the initial time frame established has been corrected as provided in item 9.
I'll make that motion.
Moved.
Seconded.
Seconded. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. And also, in item 10 is the Public Works Committee is requesting consideration of appointing Jim Fleming to a time period ending December 31st, 2012 to fill a resignation slot of Roy Hester. Any questions with that?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. And now we are at item number 11. A Pine Planning Commission's recommendation requesting consideration given to appointing Jenny Woodruff for a two-year term period to fill a committee vacancy caused by the resignation of Renee Schifano. And I would point out that both of these are residents within the city. Any questions? Is there a motion?
I move we accept Jenny Woodruff for a two-year term on the Planning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. And item 13, because we've covered 12, TRT audit review findings. The city contracted with Polly Rogers and Company PC to review 5 of the 6 establishments that provide the city with TRT revenues to assure they practice appropriate accounting procedures. Roslyn was not reviewed because of seasonal operation. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. It's really important. You know, we spent a lot of time earlier this year looking at how we give monies that we receive for TRT funding to the chamber because of concern that they be expended correctly and that we have proper oversight and proper controls. But in the same breath, it's important with those who are the generators of these revenues that we go in and inquire from time to time how they're collecting the revenues. You know, are they collecting them correctly? Do they know how to correct them correctly? Do they know how to put them in the proper set-asides? Do they know how to provide them to the city? And one of the reasons that's important is if you go back and you look at the initial resolution that set up the TRT revenues, it says that if the different organizations that are to collect this money don't do so appropriately, that any number of fines and levies can be placed against them. And certainly we don't want to find ourselves ever in a position where we're going out and having to strong arm organizations because, you know, they just simply didn't know how to collect the money or how much money to collect. So we ask a local auditing firm to go in and review the books, let us know they're doing a good job, they're not doing a good job, they've got problems, whatever the issues are, and these are your findings. And I think you'll find comfort in the findings, and let Lori speak to him in a moment as well. But generally speaking, these people were collecting the money as they were supposed to collect them, to the extent they were supposed to collect them, and there was very little discrepancy that was found with the 6 establishments that were providing these revenues to the city. Okay? Lori, do you want to add any comments to that?
I was rather pleased that they weren't that far off the mark. I think the biggest one was like $131. And because of the minuscule amount, I don't know that we really want to go after that, but I guess we could if we wanted additional payment.
I would ask council to weigh in on that. why wouldn't we want to go after that money?
Well, we just could send a letter and ask them for the money. That's, there's no problem there.
Yeah, and that was Timbercrest.
Yeah. And we don't have any problem doing that.
Yeah.
And we will do that.
Okay.
Okay. But I think the bigger thing is, you know, for all the monies that we collect each year, $50,000, $60,000, it's nice to know that you've got some tiny little discrepancy at the most that is, you know, and given all the intricacies of, you know, collecting the money and setting it aside and distributing it to the city, it's nice to see that it's just about where it's supposed to be. Okay. And that was our big inquiry. We wanted to know, gee whiz, or, you know, because I had in my mind, always have in your mind that, you know, maybe they're not collecting the money at all, or maybe they're not giving it to us, or whatever. So it was nice to know that everybody in this town is pretty squeaky clean. And that is our report, and we will follow up with a letter and let you know what we find out from the inquiry. Okay?
Any questions, Council?
No, I would support the letter and just ask him for that. That's good.
Stu?
Yeah, I support going and sending the letter as well.
Do we send it to all of them, or do we just send it to the one that's above the high side?
Yeah. How much does it cost to send the letter? Is it worth sending it for $1.31?
You know, it's way between that and the principal.
Yeah. I suggest leave it to the discretion of
the city.
Yeah.
Staff. I think that sounds like a general consensus. Steve,
yes,
this Newberry RV Park.
Uh-huh.
I'm just looking at this, and we were unable to test a sample of the day transaction records for the third quarter due to not receiving detailed deposit information. We also were not able to verify the payment to the city had cleared for either quarter. Tax calculations appeared correct.
Well,
what is the implication there?
Well, what we understood from that they collect very little money, like $2 or $3 or $5 a month. It's just a very little tiny amount that they collect over there.
Who is this?
This is the RV park that's over off Burgess.
Roslyn?
Roslyn.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
No, this is Newberry. This says Newberry.
It's Roslyn Park. It's off. It's in the city.
Is that Newberry out of north end of town, out past Gordy's?
Yep.
Not that way.
Okay. Well, then I stand corrected.
No. Okay.
Up by S&S.
Yeah, Auto S&S Autos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I stand corrected.
Okay.
Okay.
It's mostly a summer.
Yeah. Okay. But. Is there a need to hold them to anything like that? Is that satisfactory, or are we comfortable with them not having, you know, due to not receiving detailed deposit information?
Well, we'll just talk to them. How's that? I think the important thing from a city posture is that they know that from time to time we're going to scrutinize their records to assure their integrity, and that if we find discrepancies, we're going to call them to their attention. We're going to try and hold them accountable, and not in a strong arm manner, because we're thankful that they're collecting the monies for us. But to assure the just to assure the process. And I'm just really, it's important to me that anybody comes in here anytime and says, we want to see your records, we want to know you're clean, that we've done everything within our capacity to be diligent in collection of monies and accountability for them.
How much did it cost us to do that? Did I see a number in signing checks, $2,500?
$2,700. Yes. It's, anytime you do an audit, it is expensive. Right? You do them cautiously, but you do them to assure. I mean, the $2,700 is a big hit. There's no doubt about it. But a bigger hit is we're not looking at, we're not awake at the switch, and all of a sudden we have some of the situations that we've seen with some of the special districts in this community and others, and that's not good.
You have an idea of what the time, the intervals would be? Every 2 or 3 years?
Yes.
3 years, maybe.
3 years.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but we reserve, let's put it this way. We probably have an interval, but if we suspect something, we'd want to jump on. We want to say, oh, well, you know, we think you're not doing something, but we're going to wait until 2 years from now.
Okay.
I think we'd want to be there yesterday.
Okay.
Okay?
Any further comments, questions? Other matters?
I have one.
Okay.
This is show and tell. You have them before you. As you know, we're applying for STIP monies. Why right now and in such a hurry we have to apply for the state revenues that are available through ODOT? I don't know. But nonetheless, we've been advised that if we want to be a player and capture some of the grant monies that are out there, that we need to have a competitive grant application by November 27th. And our goal is to have one here within a week or so. And so we're looking at how to construct a grant application. And there's two things right now that we're trying to put together in the application that we're trying to pictorially describe. You have, first of all, you have a map, and on that map you see little red dashes. And those little red dashes show where on the west side of Highway 97, from 6th Street down to 1st Street, and along 1st Street, where there are no sidewalks, or curb, or drainage, or anything. And so one of our component part of our funding request will be for those sidewalks there and all those places we're missing over this half mile section here. And then the second thing that we're looking at doing, and this was really became pronounced yesterday at the Public Works Committee meeting, is people are really having a hard time getting from the east side of Highway 97 to the west side just because of all the cars, and it's a real scramble. And if you've got trouble with your giddy up, good luck getting across the street. So we're also looking as part of our grant proposal to put some kind of a pedestrian passageway and lights if necessary, where Ray's Food Place is, along 4th Street, Huntington Road, and 6th Street. We're going to recommend those. We're going to wrap those into the grant application. And I want to say this. We've actually got ODOT itself as a grant sponsor. And we've got the county as a grant sponsor. And so this is a competitive grant that's going to be submitted on behalf of the city, on behalf of ODOT, and on behalf of Deschutes County. And we're hoping, because we've really taken some time and energy, put together a good grant application, that we'll get some good returns. And I'm thinking that when this is all done and said, we're probably looking at around $1 million worth of grant application. Okay. And my understanding is going to be about $16 million. Is that correct, Mayor? For this Region 4? Something like that?
Gosh, I didn't think it was that much, but it's not very much money.
It's not very much money, and so we're going to grab what we can and defend as much as we can and hopefully have poised as well as we can a good grant application and have it in the door by the deadline, which is next time you turn around. Okay. So I think we can do it. I'm feeling pretty good about it. We're interfacing every day, the three entities, and I think we'll get there. And then one more thing, we have a thank you card here. And this is a thank you card from Bob Schultz of the Pine Park and Recreation District. And he wanted me to tell you, thank you for your support in this year's Trunk or Treat. The event was enjoyed by over 1,500 community members. Thank you very much. Okay?
Very good.
Those are my comments.
We'll entertain public comments at this time.
I just want to thank you for appointing me to the council to this meeting.
We like volunteers, Jimmy.
Yes.
And thank you for stepping forward. Committee reports? Here, Don, do you have something?
I just wanted to say that I went to the COIC meeting this last couple weeks ago, and we spent the whole meeting going over Bend and Redmond's public transportation. That was the whole meeting.
The whole meeting. I attended the elected officials quarter 97 meeting, and we mainly talked about money, that there isn't any, and we need to keep pressing forward. This is the elected officials of Redmond, Madras, Bend, and Lapine. So they're in these committees around ODOT, and led by Gary Farnsworth. The big issue is no money. They've revamped the way they're going to provide funding, and there's little money out there, but they're going to keep struggling to try to find it. So that's all for me. Anybody else? Stu?
Emergency preparedness. I attended that along with the city manager. We learned where the Oregon Department Highway Division is going to plow first in the major snow events. They filled us in primarily on what their role will be in case of a disaster, whether it be a snow event, wildland fire, earthquake, you know, you name it, what they could bring to the table, which was, some of it was pretty interesting, and what the city's role would play at the table along with the county and the fire department and the sheriff's office and the whole emergency services side of it. So it was pretty interesting. And OSP and the sheriff's office were also, they also had representatives there. And pretty much they said they would do whatever the city needed to be done in case of an emergency. So they're all on board and willing to work with us.
And as a compliment to that, I got to use my emergency card. You know, we had the meeting the other night, and we left Lapine to go to Spokane, and we got about 6 or 7 miles down the road, and all of a sudden we found ourselves in a snowstorm on 97 with all these thousands of cars in front of us, and I'm going, you know, I want to know what's going on. And so I reached into my handy little thing here, and I called Tim McGinnis, and I said, help. And he explained what was going on and why it was going on and how it was going on, and it would be out there for the rest of our lives. But he did tell me that, and these things are handy.
Thank you.
He used my phone because his wouldn't work in the snow.
You're really prepared, aren't you?
Does staff have any more comments? Okay. Council comments? Stu?
Nope.
Don?
Nope.
Dan?
No, I'm good.
Kathy?
I just want to say this is wonderful when I look at it, and being on the other side, particularly that refuge island, that because I watched a lady with one in her hand and one in the buggy, and it wasn't easy for her to get across. And so I think this is fantastic. I'm just really excited to see it come about. Thank you for all the work. And
well, just keep your fingers crossed that we're competitive. Yeah. But we certainly need, we need those sidewalks. We need these pedestrian crosswalks. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. For me, it being, you know, we're coming up on the end of 6 months in this budget cycle and our goal cycle, and I'd like to get the council's consensus that on our next meeting in December, that we have a total review of our goals and where we are with those. And that's it.
I agree. I love that idea, but maybe January after the new year, and we may have new counselors on board.
Sounds good to me.
But,
yeah, so the idea is then consensus that in our first meeting in January.
And that will be helpful because we're going to, in January, February, start the new budget cycle. And as part of that, the very first thing will be goal setting. So it'll be helpful to kind of, before we do the goal setting, where are we in our goals and which of those goals, you know, are realistic, have fallen by the wayside, have been resolved, so that as you set the stage, that sets the stage then for the goal set.
Okay.
So it's important.
Yep. Could I, another comment along that line, I can't find my package of the goals, you know, how we numbered them and all of that kind of stuff.
It should be in that little blue, that plastic thing you had there.
The goals?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're on the back.
It should be, it should be in the front.
Back front somewhere.
It should be right here. Yep, city priority goals. So, and there should be 17 of them.
Okay.
And then we kind of broke them down.
All right.
Goal one, two, and three.
Okay.
17. All right.
That's probably why I couldn't find it. It was in the budget book. All right.
I'm off. I
Okay. Any further council comments? Motion to adjourn.
If you have the new COIC representative, I'd be happy to take him up and introduce him for next year.
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously.
Good night.
Well, you're still going to do that. Good luck.